Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Oh, welcome to our podcast on the law of supply and demand.
Oh, people are always asking us about supply and demand.
Well, we did another podcast, didn't we? We did another podcast on different laws, but we deliberately didn't include this one because it takes a little bit of time to
did
explain.
We not?
No, yep. Okay. Definitely.
Shall we
so let's talk about it. But you need to, well, mm-hmm. if you've decided to give up the theme song, I'll be okay with that. But other,
really?
No, I wouldn't. No, you need to do your theme song. So now choose.
Are you offended? I would not be just a nothing.
I think you've done that one already. Stuffing.
My heart all full of pain. In my mind, I'd be thinking I could be another Lincoln if I only had a brain. Oh, why?
Can tell you why
the ocean meets the shore. Okay, that's enough.
We could rehash that.
I wonder why.
Anyway.
So supply and demand,
I feel like we've done that song before, but anyway,
have we?
May not have.
Yeah, but maybe not with such vigor.
Okay, right. Supply and demand.
Supply and demand, which is actually the first law of economics, arguably.
Yes.
So
where do we start?
We probably need to give the importance, help people to understand the importance of understanding what a law is.
Well, I think we did that in another podcast. They can go.
But does that mean they have to rewind?
It'll take
us a minute.
Okay, go on. Go ahead.
So because all matter in the universe is polarized, on a microscope.
I was just questioning how long it would take you to do it. So if you can.
Well, if you keep doing shit like that, it's going to take me forever. I mean, I've grown a beard since we started this bleeding podcast. Give me a break.
And that's saying something.
That's saying something because I'm still going through puberty. So to understand universal laws and principles, you've got to understand that all matter is governed by laws, and no one can defy a law. So all laws are anthropocentric. The only place they're seen to govern is within the human mind. And they're there for the purpose of governing matter and keeping us in a state of equanimity. So keeping us in a state of balance. So the laws are the rules of the game.
Meaning, and no one can defy it, like you put your hand over fire, you're going to get burnt.
No one gets away with it.
How long you keep your hand over the fire determines how long you're going
to
get
burnt. So the degree to which you suffer is proportionate to the infraction that you have against laws.
Perfect. That was good. That was a quick summary. Good job.
In and out.
Good job.
In and out.
Okay, good.
Really quick.
Now. Start the supply and demand thing. I'm not actually sure.
So, supply and demand. Okay.
That.
Well, supply and demand, basically.
Because we normally draw it on a diagram.
Yeah,
I'm
normally going. And for my next diagram, so supply and demand is about focusing on the demand increases the supply.
Yes.
Okay. So, that's it in really simple terms. Increase the demand on yourself and the supply has to follow. Yeah. But focus on the supply and your demand drops. So, focus on your demand and your supply follows. Focus on your supply and your demand drops.
Mm-hmm.
So give a good example.
I will give a good example.
Go.
So
take it away.
Let's use the example.
Take it away, Nigel.
Of money. Shall we use the example of money?
Sure.
People think that like if they're running short on money, that they're worried about money coming in, right? Mm. So if they're worried about the supply of money,
mm-hmm.
and they focus on that supply,
mm-hmm.
the demand in terms of the service that they have to offer the world,
yep.
that drops because yep. their focus is directed here towards the money,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what we're saying, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Right?
Yeah.
Is that a good enough explanation?
Yeah, I think that, well, what about if you explain it in terms of 2008?
Well, global financial crisis. Well, why don't you explain
it? No, I'd like you to explain it.
Okay. So global financial crisis. So it was a perceived global financial crisis at that time, right?
Yeah.
So at that time, what was happening is everyone was buttoning down.
Yeah.
Everyone was saying, there's not a lot to go around. Yes?
Yes.
Everybody's you know, struggling with their money,
yeah.
et cetera. So what we found in businesses and in companies that they would start to button things down.
Down the hatches
instead of stepping up and putting a higher demand on themselves. So that's actually what was going on for us as well, right? Because we were like, well, we're a personal development. You know, we work on human development and are people going to be spending money on doing this sort of work? But what we realized was actually people are needing this more at this time because they want to know what's going on, right?
Yeah.
So rather than saying, oh, we're going to reduce our prices, that's a supply.
Yeah.
We're going to put on less seminars. That's a supply issue. So that would have been us focusing on the supply. Yep. What we did is we created a higher demand. So how we created the higher demand was we created a seminar that at the time was called Alchemy and You, now is Mastermind of Money. But we created a seminar.
Runs three times a year, four times a year, five times a year, six times a year, in a town near you.
In a town near
you. Check your dates.
Great. Anyway, so they now I've lost my place. Oh, yeah. So we created Mastermind of Money and because we realized that people wanted that information.
Yep.
But in order for us to do that, we had to put a demand on ourselves. We had to put a demand on our time.
Yep.
We had to put a demand on our resources because we ended up buying – I remember we ended up
organizing our own equipment, staging.
Yeah, we went and grabbed all our own equipment. We spent money on speakers, et cetera. So where everyone else was shutting down shop, we were like, no, we have to put the pressure on ourselves to grow.
Yeah.
Right? And you notice it in other companies around the world as well. They started closing down and shutting down their businesses.
That's right.
Right? And their stocks went down because they were worried that people weren't going to spend money.
Yeah, so that really famous coffee company, who we won't mention, that really famous coffee company around the world globally started shutting down stores and their stocks dropped.
But other places did differently.
That really famous burger place around the world that everybody knows of, and with the Golden Arches, they actually came up with what they call the poverty pack. So for €2, you could get chips, a burger and fries, and their stocks went through the roof.
Yeah, so Foxtel did it here in Australia.
Oh, can you mention Foxtel?
Anyway, they did it here in Australia. I remember the ads going out and they would say things like, you guys aren't going to be able to go out anymore.
Yep.
Because you're not going to have the money, so you might as well entertain at home.
Yeah,
by Foxtel.
Yeah. So they were literally playing marketing to people's fears.
So
it's crazy.
But the thing is that they could have gone, oh, no one's going to buy, use Foxtel anymore. Yeah. Instead, they invested and they put the demand on themselves to get the return.
That's right.
So. Demand and supply is the demand is your inspiration, your service, putting pressure on that. Mm-hmm. The supply is worrying about where everything you need is going to come from.
And you have to understand, people. It's important for people to understand this now, that it's like I know brains. I can almost hear the cogs turning in people's heads, and they're going, yeah. But it's okay for you guys. We haven't got any money, and we haven't got this, and we haven't got that. So putting focus on your demand is not putting focus on your supply. Building your demand is not building your supply. Your supply gets built as a result of the amount of demand you have in yourself.
Yes.
So it's about doing things like asking yourselves, how can I be more organized?
Absolutely.
How can I be more diligent? How can I be more focused? How can I be more creative? So that's putting a demand on yourself.
So this is evident with people I work with closely in terms of the wealth principles, because I have because the wealth principles, people mistakenly think that you have to have money in order to make that work.
Yes.
Actually, it's not.
Yeah.
It's whatever you – if you're spending money, you can use the wealth principles, right? Because regardless of how much you earn, because it's all about the organization that you put into it. Now, when you're organizing your finances, you're not worried about where it's coming from. What you're worried about is the demand you're putting on yourself in terms of being organized, being diligent, being focused, right? That's where the demand goes.
Yeah.
So people think mistakenly that it's about the amount of money you earn. No, it's about putting the demand on yourself first. Organize what you've got, and then you'll notice more coming in. That's how our wealth principles work. Purely because of this law, the supply and demand. Now,
it's important for people to understand that not one human being on the planet gets to escape that law. That does not work for you, but works for the millionaire or the billionaire. It works for everybody.
Everyone.
The reason the billionaire is a billionaire is because he has a very high demand on his time, on his intellect, on his energy. He has a very high demand on that stuff. Now, I meet lots of people. We were talking about this the other day with Mike, and Mike brought up a really good point. And we meet these sorts of people all the time. You say to people, do you want to be rich? And they go, yeah, I want to be a millionaire. So you're willing to do whatever it takes? Yeah, everything. You got me. You don't need to sell this shit to me. I want to be a millionaire. That's where I want to be. I want to be a millionaire. Okay. And then you're like, okay, to be a millionaire, you're going to have to give up some time. And that means that you have to start to put your focus on your demand. And, how much time do you spend on Netflix? Oh, man, Netflix. Do you like Netflix? Yeah, I got these. Did you see Game of Thrones? Oh, my God, Game of Thrones is fantastic. And I love Game of Thrones, and I watch Game of Thrones, and it's so good. And how much time do you spend? Oh man, it's on every week. But the reason you're not wealthy is because you're putting your time into that short-term satisfaction stuff in terms of putting a demand on your long-term vision and your intellect, and you're putting your time into actually building what it is that you want.
Yeah.
It is more important for you to watch Game of Thrones than it is for you to become a millionaire.
Right. So let's talk about then.
So short-term satisfaction, no matter where you put it, if you put your time and energy into short-term satisfaction, it costs you. If you put your time into a long-term vision, it pays you.
Yes, absolutely. So let's talk about the best way to explain that, I feel, is talking about the five common ways that people focus on the supply and not put the demand on
themselves.
And then
we should also, just what we're doing, is quickly cover debt as well.
Right, very quickly we'll cover it. So there's five common ways that people focus on the supply. We call them the five sins of supply, right? Meaning that people use these as an excuse and say, when there's the supply of this, then I'll go and live my life.
Yeah.
Or instead of saying, I'm going to put the demand on these areas.
Yeah.
The first area is time, right? So people are like, well, when I've got more time, then I'll go live my life.
Or I'm going to do it next time.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to do it in the future.
Yeah.
Or I'll do it next week or next month. So time is the way in which they sabotage their wealth.
Their relationships and their jobs and their careers.
Time.
Yeah, time. So what that sounds like is that people are put their time then into low priority things, meaning short-term satisfaction, right? Mm-hmm. So they're saying, no, I don't have enough time to go to the gym, but I've got enough time to spend an hour and a half on Facebook, right? Or I don't have enough time to go and live my life, or I'm going to blame the boss because he's not giving me enough time to, you know, I haven't got time. I've got to work. I've got three kids. But they're not putting a pressure on their time. The best example that I often give, and I love this example, is when you're a uni student, right? You got an exam, or sorry, an assessment or a paper that's due on the Friday, and it's Thursday night, and you've planned your night.
Yep.
You've got everything. Back in my day, we didn't have the Red Bull; we had the coffee and the whatever. So you've got everything set up in order to get your assignment crammed in that night so that you can hand it in on the Friday morning, right? Because you haven't done anything up until that day. Then you go into uni, lecturer says that, that tomorrow's lecturer has a family emergency in Melbourne, so they're not going to be here. You've got an extra week to give in your assignment. What happens? Do you dutifully go home and put all your time into setting out the space for your assignment for the following week? No. You're down at the pub then on Thursday night.
Yeah.
On Friday, on Saturday, on Sunday, you're recovering on Monday and Tuesday.
That's right.
Wednesday, you're starting to become normal again, and Thursday, you're cramming again.
Yeah.
The only difference is the pressure that was put on your time.
Mm-hmm.
Because the time there was no pressure on the time. The demand wasn't put on your time. What we do is we go and put our time into low priority things. We put our time into short-term satisfaction to get the quick fix, right? So this is supply and demand with time. The time comes when you put a demand, when you put pressure on it. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense?
Totally.
Have we covered enough with the time thing?
Totally.
Okay. The second way that people blame the supply is through money.
Yeah.
They say, when I have money, then I'll go live my life.
Mm-hmm.
When the boss pays me more, then I'll go fulfill my dreams. When the kids leave home and it frees up more cash, that's when I'm going to go and step up, right?
Yeah. So people are putting
the money.
So they put their money into short-term quick fix, quick book stuff.
Yeah.
So they have enough money for the cigarettes, but they don't have enough money to educate themselves. They have enough money for the cigarette, for the cake and the movies, but they don't have enough money to be able to invest in their growth in some way.
Yeah. And the example that I always give for this one is, if I said to most people, I need you to give me $1 million tomorrow, you got to bring it in tomorrow, most of them will be like, no, I don't have access to that. Mm-hmm. Can't do it. But if I take away one of their kids, a small cute one, because the teenagers they don't pay back for, a small cute kid, and I say, look, in order to get your kid back, you got to give me $1 million. You would find $1 million.
That's
$1 million is around you.
Yeah.
It's not about the money. It's about your demand and the reason and the pressure you put on yourself to go have it.
And your intention.
And your intention.
Putting a demand on your intention. What is my intention?
So the same people that don't have money to fulfill their dreams have money to have the brand new pack of cigarettes, the new tattoo, the brand new Audi, the holiday every year, etc. Because they think that that is – there's nothing wrong with those things. There's nothing wrong with those things. But what happens with those things is if they, you're using that as your excuse to not go and live and not have that long-term vision, then you're stunting yourself. You're stunting your growth and your movement, right?
That's right.
So you put, when you put pressure on yourself, if you're using that as your excuse to not go and live your life and to not have a vision, that's when there's a concern, right? So people are waiting for the money to show up, the supply, instead of putting a demand on that. People book in, buy a new house, right? And they think, how am I ever going to pay that back? But they find a way to pay it back because there's the demand on that. They put the pressure on themselves to do it. Mm. So that's a law of supply and demand, or one of the ways we stop ourselves with money.
Yeah.
The next one is really interesting.
Which is surrogacy.
Right?
And surrogacy is really about where you're blaming other people, you know.
Another person.
Another person, yeah. And when my, you know, when my husband agrees, or my wife agrees, then I will go and do something about my life.
Yeah.
When my husband gets on board, then I will go back to the gym. When when my wife gets on board, then I'll go back to the gym.
When the boss gives me, when the boss, you know, gives me time off and, you know, understands what's going on, then I'll be able to do this. When I don't, when the kids leave home and I've got more, you know, because I'm blaming them, I'm putting my energy and my focus onto them. When whatever, it's got to do with another person, and they're saying what I need is the supply of what I need to come from a person as opposed from as opposed to myself.
So, so but what they're actually
they don't put any demand on themselves and their own ability to step up.
But what they're actually doing is they're taking the guilt of not doing what they love.
Definitely.
And they're handing it on to another person, blaming the husband or the boss or someone else. And they think they're going to have the pleasure of that without the pain of
it. So now, you give me your shit. Yeah. I take it over here. How do you transform your life? You don't.
Yeah.
I've got your I've got the key.
Yeah.
If I've got the key, you don't get to transform your life. Mm-hmm. So if you're putting, if you're waiting for the supply of what you need to come from me, you're never going to step up.
Yeah.
You're never going to grow.
Yeah.
So you're
And if you don't think the opposing person is not going
to feel the pain of
and
that.
Is not going to resent you for doing that, then you're delusional.
Absolutely. So people wait for the supply of, say, it's support or you know, assistance, you know, connection, whatever they're looking for, to come from another person, they don't put any pressure on themselves. Now, what happens when you put the pressure or the demand on yourself is that you step up. This is with time and with money and with surrogacy, right? Yeah. You step up. You become more organized.
Yeah.
You become more disciplined. You become more focused. You become more conscientious, whatever it is. And the things that you need show up. The supply of what you need, the time, the money, the people that you need will show up for you. But you've got to put that on yourself first, right? The next one is self-righteous. Mm. And self-righteousness is where a person feels like, I've got all of the answers.
Yeah.
There's no, there's nothing you can teach me. My cup is full.
Yeah.
As a result of that, I'm not going to put any demand on the knowledge that I've gained over the 30 years or 40 years or whatever of my life.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to empty my cup and allow for more to come in.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to put any demand.
And I'm
on
also not going to do anything with what I've
and
got
And I
there.
Don't do anything with what I got. Or I have a limit to where, so we see this a lot with money.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but why would I do it this way? Well, because the way you've done it has got you so far, and that's good. But if you want to continue to grow, you have to step up. You can't use the tools you've always had and expect that it's going to give you a different outcome.
The other thing with the money thing is that, you know, they feel as if there's, you know, there's no pressure on that. So they're in a state of, you know, it taps into that law of cause and effect. When the money turns up, then I'll actually go and do something.
But with the self-righteous
When the time thing, turns up, then I'll actually go and do something.
So when the self-righteous thing, there's a part of those people that feels that if they put demand on their intellect, their knowledge in what they learned from the past, and they stop being right about it, then they're going to have been wrong with everything they've learned so far.
Right, right.
And that's part of the reason that they don't want to put the demand on themselves, right?
Right, right.
So the new supply of knowledge doesn't come in. Now, what really happens then is you are able to, when you actually put the demand on your knowledge, you're able to say, what I've learned to now is great for what it's given me till now.
Yeah.
But now I'm going to put the demand on myself to step up.
To learn more.
To learn more.
Associate more with greater educators.
Absolutely.
Listen to more podcasts, whatever that is.
Whatever. The last one is self-righteous.
Which is I haven't got enough.
Well, and I'm not enough. It's like, it doesn't matter what I do. It's never going to be enough. I'm not good enough. I've dug my grave. I'm going to lie in it. So people don't put a demand on themselves.
Yeah.
In terms of their knowledge, their intellect, their wisdom, because they feel like
that's right.
It doesn't matter what they do; the supply is never going to come anyway.
That's
so,
right.
What's the point? Then, what's the point? Type of people. So, although there are other ways, most of people's issues with supply comes from these five ways, and all it is a trick or a glitch or a shift in your framing,
yeah,
where you'll stop with the supply and you'll look at the demand,
which gets back to what we said earlier. You know, the question you've got to be asking yourself is, don't wait on the supply of energy to turn up before you put your energy into your life.
So you used a good example yesterday, because we had one of the clients in, well, recently, the client in one of the seminars who was saying about the this business isn't inspiring me as much,
yeah,
right? And but I want to go get a new car,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so as a result of that, they weren't putting a demand on themselves or a demand on the business,
yeah,
right? Because they hadn't seen that in putting a demand on the business, they were going to be able to get the car.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So they're worried about, where's the money going to come from for the car? Oh, I really need to. So what was happening was, what he was saying was, because I want to get this car and this car is important to me, should I reduce all of these other things in order to make sure the car happens in my life, right? And one mode of thinking would be, yes, you can do that if you want to. But next level thinking is, okay, put a demand on yourself. Put a demand on this business that you've got going on over here. Put some pressure on yourself to put a couple of hours a week work into that. And then that will pay for the car. Yes,
yep.
That then gives you the supply you're looking for. But we're so focused on trying to find the money or the supply of what we're looking at,
right,
that we're not putting the pressure on ourselves to step up and to shift.
I think it's important to understand there with that particular client is that they had a business that was a cash cow.
Yeah,
that was giving them cash. So I said to them, so you want to get rid of the business? Yeah, but why don't you just build a business to pay for the car? And he was like, he lit up. I was like, oh my God, I never thought about that. You're not going to take the cash cow out the back and go, honey, take the cow out the back now and just shoot it. Yeah, we'll eat it.
Well,
and bring the cow inside. You eat the cow and you run out of cash, and then you've no more cow left. So you're screwed. Your objective is take, because I think what he was worried about was he was diversifying his mission. But watch, diversifying his mission. When it was like, it's dig one hole, dig it deep and dig it well. So this was just another byproduct of what he was already doing.
Yes. So we've got all of that stuff going on in terms of that story with him, in terms of the values and his mission and other things. But in terms of just the supply and demand thing, it's like, I can choose to go up to shut down and to take money from other places, or I can choose to step up.
That's right.
And that's all supply and demand is. Shut down, step up.
Yeah.
You said that we must focus on the service and the debt, so we'll cover that as well quickly.
So debt is fairly straightforward. Service
Hang on a sec. So if you imagine supply and demand on a graph, and supply is the horizontal axis, demand is the vertical axis, right? Service sits with demand.
That's right.
Service aligns with demand, and debt aligns with supply.
Correct.
Right? So supply and debt are the same thing, demand and service, same thing.
Correct.
Right?
And then if you think that you have a debt of, let's say, $52,000. Now, so when somebody looks at a debt of $52,000, you know, the ordinary layperson would, you know, panic. So the way in which you break that down is you put a bigger demand on the debt. So you look and you say, okay, let's break this debt down now, and we'll divide it by 52, so we get $1,000 a week. So now the $52,000 has gone down to $1,000 a week. So let's say
you want to pay this debt off.
Yeah, you want to pay it off in a year.
Right.
So you're putting the demand on yourself to pay the debt off in a year. But, you know, people look at $52,000 and think, how would I pay it off in a year? But if we break that $52,000 down into $1,000 a week, it's still $52,000, but it's $1,000 a week now. And then we divide it by 5 days a week, so it works out at $200 a day. And then we divide that by eight, which gives us 8 hours of working, 8 hours of working, normal 8 hour working day. And you're now dividing it down into as little as, like, you know, $25, or approximately $25 an hour. Now, if you had to get $25 an hour, I'm pretty sure most people could tweak their organization or their lives to be able to do that, just put a bigger demand on themselves. You can increase that by 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and then suddenly you're reducing it down to a very, very low amount that you just have to get per day to be able to pay it off.
Right. So the way I use that example, and I'll just change the figure just quickly so to make it easier to use. Let's say it's a $12,000 debt. You want to pay it in a year. It's $1,000 a month, right? $250 a week, right? $50 every working day, and you're a massage therapist, right?
Yeah.
So if you're a massage therapist and you're worried about the money, would you agree that your clients are going to feel that?
Yeah.
You're not going to attract people who are excited about getting a massage from you because you're worried about the money, right? So, but if you're a massage therapist and you've only got to earn an extra $50 a day, right, then how many extra massages a week do you need to provide to people, right? And if the answer to that is like 2.5, well then – your service is about how do I inspire people? How do I add more value to people? How do I get new customers in? How can I share this love of massage, etc., with people so that I get that extra 2.5 customers a week? Now, instead of saying, oh my God, I don't have $12,000. How do I inspire more customers and more people to come get massages? That's a totally different energetic conversation you're having with yourself. Therefore, when you're focusing on your service, the debt goes away. Because then you can focus on how you can add more value. It's the same as putting the demand. How do I add more value? How do I be of service? How am I stepping up? How am I growing? How am I assisting people? When you can do that, the supply of what you need and the debt, the supply of what you need follows, therefore the debt goes away.
I know that some people are sitting there thinking, but I got a 9-to-5 job. So I'll quickly cover that one as well. The way in which you do that is you think, I can't get $50 a day out of my boss. You can if you think about your boss's values. So your boss's value is bottom line, how much money the company's going to get in at the end of every week. But if you stop and put it into your mind and speak to your boss about how giving him giving you an increase is going to increase the bottom line, you just got to make that link. Give me an increase, it's going to increase the bottom line. You do that and it'll turn up.
The point is that everything is... can work itself out. We've seen it in action. We literally see it every single day. And I've just had some, like in the last few days, three people have come to me and said, oh my God, the law of supply and demand works. And I'm like, it works. But you have to put that pressure on yourself first. You have to commit first. If you don't commit, then you aren't invested in it.
Yeah.
And as a result of not being invested in it, the supply stays where it is. You can't have your toe in it partly because you're not in.
If you're not invested in your demand, your time has to be invested somewhere, so it goes to the other side, which is your debt.
Yes. So regardless, I know we speak a lot about money because people understand money, but whether it's time, money, support, connection, whatever it is you're looking for, if you put a demand on yourself, the supply of everything you need is due to follow. That was a very quick rundown of supply.
Yeah, we could talk about
that. We could talk to about it for weeks, but I think that was good.
Hope you guys loved it.
Yeah. I was going to do that again. Just like, awkward.
We need to have our own handshake.
We should have a handshake.